And I give honor tonight to your good pastor and his wife, the first lady of this church, and also their family. Don't you thank God for your pastor? Amen. And of course, to this church family, I honor you tonight. And I bring a burden to this pulpit. And I really feel some things in the Holy Ghost. As I was driving here today, and we came close to Hot Springs, and we passed the new facility. What a beautiful, beautiful. I mean, I was taken back. I've seen it in the earlier stages, but when I came around that curve, and it just like exploded right in front of me, and I'm thinking, thank God. Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. But in all of that, I felt the burden of the Spirit speak to me, and I can't get this off of my mind and heart, so the only way I know to get it off is to preach it off. Amen. How many want to go a little bit further in God tonight? Amen. I read from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read beginning at verse 13 and read through verse 17. Then we're going to drop down to verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and beginning at verse 13. And there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servants said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was far off. Dropping down to verse 23. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here I am," or "here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." In the first portion of scriptures that we read, David made a statement concerning the people of God, Absalom, and things that were about to take place. And his words were, "Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, lest Absalom overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us." And these words, "and smite the city with the edge of the sword." I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this thought: don't smite the city. Amen. Don't smite the city. Let's pray that the Holy Ghost will help us in the preaching of the word tonight. Lift your voice. Let's lift our voice. Let's ask God to help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Put your hand on us tonight, Holy Ghost. We need your touch. And everybody shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I don't think it would be anything that you don't know for me to make this statement that David loved his God. If there is one thing that could be said about this man, it's simply he loved his God. Read the Psalms. Read his writings. Read his songs that he sung. And he had an incredible love for the Lord God Jehovah. So consequently, as a result of his love for God, he loved everything that was associated with God. He said in Psalms 18 and 1, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalms 116 and 1, he said, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Then in Psalms 119 and 97, he said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So what you find flowing out of David's love for his God is that David loved everything that was associated with God. Everything that was connected with God. Everything that was a part of God and his work. David loved God. And he loved the word of God. He loved the people of God. He loved the house of God. And he loved the city of God. Hallelujah. Everything he loved. He loved God and he loved everything associated with God. Can I tell you tonight? You cannot love God and not love everything connected to God. The writer of the book of James, I believe it was, said that if you say you love God and you hate your brother, he said you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Amen. You can't love God and not love your brother. You can't love God and not love your sister. You can't love God and not love the word of God. You cannot love God and not love the house of God. Woo! Come on, let's praise him a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when I read this particular text, I have a hard time reconciling the David of 2 Samuel 15 with the David of 1 Samuel 17. Because when you read the David of 1 Samuel 17, he had a testimony. Pastor talked about the testimony. He had a testimony. When he stood in the presence of King Saul, and he said to King Saul, the same God that delivered me from the hand of the lion and the paw of the bear, that God will deliver me from that uncircumcised Philistine. Oh, hallelujah. David was the man that didn't have a problem fighting when it was a time to fight. He didn't have a problem dealing with problems that arose in as a threat against the people of God and the welfare of his own family. Hallelujah. When you study what he did in fighting the lion and fighting the bear, it was a fight because the bear and the lion was a threat against his family's welfare. He was concerned about his family. He was concerned about the sheep and the lamb that belonged to his daddy. And so because he had that desire to protect, when it came to the family level, when he got on the battlefield and he saw that the people of God were being threatened by a giant, he didn't have a problem standing up and saying, I'll go fight him. I'll war against that giant. I'll stand up. Oh, hallelujah. I hope y'all gonna let me preach here tonight. Because I know I feel what I'm saying in the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm gonna tell you tonight, you will never fight against the things that attack your church if you're not willing to fight for things that attack your family. Well, praise the Lord. When the enemy comes in like a flood in your family and you just roll over and play dead, when he does that to the church, you're going to have the same response to that. But if you fight for your babies, if you fight for your sons, if you fight for your daughters, if you fight for your marriage, if you fight for your family, when the devil comes against the church, then you'll fight for the church. You'll fight for revival. You'll fight for the move of the Holy Ghost. You'll fight against every spirit that rises up against the people of God. Amen. Your willingness to rise up and stand in defense of what's godly and right within your own home will determine your willingness to rise up in defense of the church. Hallelujah. I feel like just drilling down on this for a minute. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you now, if you won't fight for your family, you won't fight for the church. If you won't fight for the lambs, you won't fight for the kingdom. Woo, hallelujah. We need some daddies around here that'll rise up and say, you're not taking my babies. You're not going to steal my children. You're not going to take my family. I'm standing against the powers of hell. I'll fight for my marriage. I'll fight for my home. Amen. Hallelujah. David was not just a man who was merely content with eliminating lions and bears and giants. But when he became king, he wanted to bring back the glory. He wanted a restoration of the ark of God back to the house of God. In fact, he said in Psalms 132:1, Lord, remember David in all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will come into the tabernacle of my house. I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Here was a man that was saying in these words, he was saying, I want the glory back. I want the presence of God back. I want to get that ark. I want to get that mercy seat. I want to get the ark of God and bring it back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that it's important that we fight lions, and it's important that we fight bears, and it's important that we fight Goliath, but we need to fight for the return of the glory and the power and the magnificence of Almighty God in the times that we're living in the world that we're living in. We need somebody that makes their mind up. I'm going after the glory. I want revival like we've never seen. I want the flow of the Holy Ghost like I've never seen before. Amen. Now let me warn you. Let me warn you. There'll be resistance to both. David was resisted by his own brethren because he was willing to take on the giant. His own brethren said, "You're just a lad. You just come out here to watch the fight, the battle. That's all you came for. You're just a naughty individual." He was resisted by his own brethren because he was willing to fight against Goliath. And whenever he brought the ark of God back home and shouted and danced and magnified his God, and he came shouting all the way to his own home and kept shouting up the stairs until he got in the room where Michael, his wife, was. And the Bible said she looked at him and said, "So look at the king who took off his royal robes today and put on the common garment, the common garments of a common man, just the linen garments of a worshiper." And David said, "Woman, I got news for you. Before I was a king, I was a worshiper. Before I killed giants, I was a worshiper. When I was killing lions and bears, I was a worshiper." So I just want to warn Calvary tonight, when you fight lions and bears on the home front, you're going to be resisted. When you fight giants on the church front, you're going to be resisted. And whenever you work to have revival, you're going to be resisted. But you need to make up your mind, "I'll do it anyhow. I'll fight against every ungodly spirit. I'll fight against the spirit of resistance, and I'm going to worship God." Amen. It's sad that we have people that don't have a problem jumping to their feet and shouting in response to pastor preaching on standards and on separation. But when it comes time to be in the prayer room, you can't find them anywhere. Amen. If you're going to shout about separation and standards, you need to show up for the prayer room and say, "God, I also want the glory in the house. I want revival in the sanctuary." Amen. And so David was a fighter. David didn't run from battles. David didn't run from fights. But you got to understand, he was the kind of man that knew what fight to fight. Amen. And so that's why when I say I read 2 Samuel 15 and I see David telling the servants, "Flee the city. Absalom is on his way. Absalom is coming with an army, and we're not going to escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." You see, here's what you have to understand, and this is the way to reconcile the David of 1 Samuel 17 with the David of 2 Samuel 15, is that what you find is the real David in 2 Samuel 15. This is the David, oh hallelujah. This is the heart of the man. This is the desire of the man when it comes to the city of Jerusalem, because he loved the city of Jerusalem so much that he was willing to flee the city to prevent a civil war. He had put too much time in the city. He had put too much effort in the city. He had put too much energy in the city to allow a bloodbath in the city just to satisfy his own personal feelings. Amen. The last thing he wanted was a civil war in the streets of Jerusalem. Amen. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm not preaching a long time tonight, but I'm not going to also get into too big of a hurry that God don't really get a hold of some of us here tonight in this house. Amen. Can I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost? Can I tell you what I believe that God put in my heart this afternoon as I drove to this city? And it got heavier as I got near the service tonight. And I'm just going to lay it out to you because that's all I know how to do. It just lay it out to you and just tell you that I feel in the Holy Ghost that this church is at the most critical place that it's ever been in its existence. I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. That we are at the most critical point because God has blessed you. God has put his hand upon you. You're about to move to a new location. And if there's anything the enemy would like to do is disrupt, distract, bring confusion. Amen. I'm just telling you that you are at a critical point. And that point is the fact that it's time for somebody to make a decision here tonight. And that is the fact you've got to make a decision. I love the church so much. I love the city of Zion so much that I'm going to put my personal feelings on the shelf. So the church doesn't suffer injury. Hallelujah. Come on now, let me preach to you. Amen. I said, let me preach to you here tonight. I had a friend of mine many years ago that told me that he had a young man come to him one night and said, Pastor, he said, if I was the pastor of this church, I wouldn't pastor it the way you pastor it. And he looked at the young man and said, Son, that ain't nothing. If I wasn't the pastor of this church, I wouldn't pastor it the way I pastor it. Hallelujah. Amen. The point being that some of us just need to buckle up a little bit and give the man of God an opportunity to be the man of God that God wants him to be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We ought to love the church so much. We ought to have such a desire for the church to progress and grow and have revival that we don't let our personal feelings create issues and conflicts and problems that are unnecessary, that are not needed. Jesus is on his way to Calvary. Jesus is traveling toward Jerusalem. And as he's journeying toward Jerusalem, the most critical hour, the most prominent hour, the hour whenever things are going to affect, that's going to happen, is going to affect the whole world for all time. Amen? It's a critical time. And he's got some disciples back here walking behind him. And the scripture said that they're grumbling and they're fussing among themselves about who's the greatest. Who's the greatest? I'm greater than you. You're not greater than me. Amen. And they get to Jerusalem and the scripture said he knew what they were talking about. And he turned to them and he said, what were those things that y'all were talking about on the highway down there? Amen. You know what he was calling their hand on? He was calling their hand on their pettiness. I said he was calling their hand on their pettiness. They were being so petty as to try to figure out who was the greatest among them when they were on their way to a crisis. They were on their way to a critical place in the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, but I've come tonight with the burden of the Holy Ghost to tell you that it's time for some of us to put our pettiness on the back shelf. Put our pettiness in a corner somewhere and make up our mind. More important than anything else is the church has got to go on. The church has got to have revival. The church has got to see a breakthrough. The church has got to see the kingdom of God magnified and growing. Amen. The second set of scriptures that I read, they brought the ark of God out of the city. And they brought it to where David was. And they said, here's the ark. Take it with you. I mean, after all, you were the one that brought it here. If anybody's got a right to have possession of this ark, you have a right to have possession of this ark. You're the one that put it, that went through all the turmoil and the struggle and the effort to get this ark of God back to Jerusalem. So if anybody ought to have a right to be able to take the ark with them in a time of trouble, it's you. But David said, oh no, take the ark back to the city. I am not going to jeopardize the spiritual welfare of the city. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not going to jeopardize the spiritual welfare of the city so that I can say I have the ark. And because I'm right, and because I deserve this, and because I'm justified in doing this. I don't care how justified you are, and I don't care how deserving you think you are. Sometimes you got to put the ark back in the city so the church is not jeopardized. You've got to. Praise the Lord. I don't have any doubt that his feelings were strong. He was the one that initiated the return of that ark. He was the one that trained the musicians and the singers and the porters. He's the one that organized the choirs. But David said, I'm not jeopardizing the spiritual strength and the welfare of Israel because of my own personal feelings. And I'm going to tell all of us, we all suffer wrongs. We all suffer wrongs. As a matter of fact, I find in the word of the Lord, and I'm probably ruining 3 or 4 sermons here tonight, but I'm just going to do what I feel. Amen. But I find multiple things in scripture that tell me that there's some things that are impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. That's That's the word of God. It is impossible. There are some things that are impossible. And Jesus made this statement. He said, it is not possible, but that if offenses will come. He is saying, it don't matter who you are. It don't matter where you come from. It don't matter how good you are. It don't matter how hard you try. You will somewhere be offended. You're going to be offended. It's not, Jesus said, it's not even possible that there not be offenses. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be crucified, but so was Jesus. You might even be lied on. Oh, hallelujah. And you might have a desire to rise up and retaliate and take vengeance. But you got to remember that the only thing the Lord told us not to do for ourselves is to take vengeance. Amen. Take vengeance. Because he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Every now and then, you got to bite your lip. Every now and then, you got to bite your tongue. Every now and then, you just got to say, you know what, God? It ain't worth it. I love the city too much. I love the church too much. I'm going to put my feelings on the shelf. I'm going to put my feelings back here somewhere. Amen. David said, I'll tell you, you take that ark back. Take the ark back to the city. And if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if the Lord say, I have no delight in you, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. God help us to get that kind of revelation. To get a revelation that says, you know what? If God be pleased with me and I find favor, then he'll bring me back to a place that I want to be in him. But if God don't have any delight in me, I'm submitted to his will. Let him do with me the way he wants. I'm just not going to smite the city. I'm not going to smite the city for my own personal benefit. I'm not going to fight the city because, let me tell you something, friend, you can win an argument but lose a friend. You can win an argument but lose a brother and lose a sister. What's more valuable? The soul of your brother, the soul of your sister, and revival in the church is far more valuable than winning your fight. Psalms 122, verse 1, we use this verse a lot of times to promote worship in a service, and there's nothing wrong with that. When David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with using that verse the way we use it, but you have to understand that the people that have taken the Bible, because your Bible is not written in chronological order. And the people that have taken the Bible and they have set that in chronological order, they put this Psalm, 122 and 1, that Psalm, they put it right when David was headed back to Jerusalem after Absalom was killed, after the battle was won, and he was on his way back to Jerusalem. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Pastor, he had been through one of the greatest trials of his life. He had been through one of the greatest times of turmoil. He didn't even know if he would ever see the city of Jerusalem again. But he loved Jerusalem so much that he said, I'm not going to let Jerusalem be smitten. There's not going to be a civil war in the streets. So is it any wonder when the battle was over and they said, David, let's go back to the house of the Lord. No wonder he was glad. He didn't say, I'm glad when they said, let's go back to position. Let's go back to power. Let's go back to royal robes. Let's go back to authority. Let's go back to a golden crown. That's not what he said. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of God. Because you hear this preacher when I tell you that whenever you are willing to be humble enough, come on, church, hallelujah. I read an article one time. You may have read it. I read an article about a man who was observing a brook. And there was a log that was placed across that brook. And there were two goats that met one another on that log, going separate directions. And they looked at one another and they backed up and they butted heads and kept butting heads until they both fell into the water. Amen. And he stood there a while and there was two sheep that came, one from one direction and one the other direction. And when those sheep got on that log, and they met one another. One sheep laid down and let the other sheep walk over him. Come on. Every now and then, for the sake of unity, for the sake of preservation, you just got to let somebody walk on you and just go ahead. Just go ahead and keep your spirit right. Keep your heart right. Keep your attitude right so the church is not smitten. I don't know how you feel about the church, but I love the church. I love the city. I love the city so much. I don't want my personal feelings to get in the way. I'm not telling you tonight that you won't be hurt. I'm not telling you that you're not going to face pain. In fact, you read the story of Joseph, and you don't hear Joseph saying much about what went on in his life when his brothers sold him into slavery. You don't hear much about that. We have a little bit of a window that opens up to his emotions and his feelings whenever he's married and has his first child. He said, I'm going to call him Manasseh because the Lord has made me forget the toil of my father's house. That one statement tells me all I need to know. That Joseph struggled in his spirit with what his father's house did to him. With what the betrayal of his father's house, what his brothers did to him. He did that. He without a doubt, he struggled over those things. But he came to a point. He said, the Lord has made me forget the toil of my father's house. I'm going to call my firstborn Manasseh. And when I look at Manasseh, it's going to remind me God has helped me to forget some things. God has helped me to put some things behind me. God has helped me to deal with some of my hurts. Come on, church. You hear me tonight? There's things that sinners do to you, but you expect that out of sinners. Some of your greatest hurts sometime will come from the Father's house. But you got to make up your mind that it's not worth destroying the city over. It's not worth smiting the city. I want to preserve the spirit of the city. I want to reserve the spirit of revival And so sometimes you got to forget some things. His second child was born, and he said, I'm going to call him Ephraim, because he said, the Lord has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Hallelujah. Come on, church. And when Joseph brought those two boys to his daddy to be blessed, he brought his boys up to Jacob, and he put Manasseh, so the right hand of Jacob would be on Manasseh, and he would get the right hand blessing. And he put the left hand, he put Ephraim where the left hand would be on his head. But whenever they got close enough to Jacob, Jacob reached out and crossed his arms. He put his right hand on Ephraim and the left hand on Manasseh. Joseph said, no, daddy, that's wrong. No. He said, I know what I'm doing. Hallelujah. I'm not going to bless your hurts. I'm not going to bless your pain. I'm not going to bless what you went through. I'm going to bless your fruitfulness, because you made a decision that you're going to forget some stuff. You made a decision that you're going to overcome some things. And because of that, I'm going to bless that. Praise the Lord. Don't smite the city. So don't smite the city. Sometimes you just got to put your feelings on the altar. Sometimes you got to put your hurt on the altar. There's not a one of us in this house that hadn't been hurt by somebody somewhere at some point in life and time. All of us have been affected. But you have to decide, there's some things not worth holding on to. And I'm not going to get so petty in a time of crisis, in a critical hour. I'm going to say it again, because I'm telling you what I felt in the Holy Ghost, that this church is at a very critical point right now. Amen. And when you walk out of this building for the last time and you drive to that new facility and you walk into it to worship for the very first time, amen, there's going to be some stuff that we need to know we have taken care of. We have resolved it. We have settled it. We have left it here. We've left it here. We're not going to take bitterness from here to there. We're not going to take hurt from here to there. We're not going to take pain from here to there. The only thing we're taking out of this house is revival. Praise the Lord. Come on. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. There's a lot more I could preach. I'm not sure I'm going any further. I feel something settling on us right now. Amen. I feel like we're in a time of cleansing. There needs to be cleansing here tonight. There's some folks that need to turn some stuff loose. Amen. There's some people that need to turn some things loose tonight. You need to give birth to a Manasseh in this house. You need to give birth to a spirit of forgetting. Forgetting your pain. Forgetting your hurt. Forgetting the conflicts. Forgetting the agony. Forgetting the bitterness. I want to see the city live. I don't want to see the city smitten. I don't want a bloodbath in the city. I don't want a civil war in the city. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the power of God. I want the glory of God. I want the presence of God. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. If there's not room in the altar tonight, then pray at your pew, but somebody needs to pray in this house. It's time to turn some things loose. It's time to move forward in the Holy Ghost. It's time to break through some things that have hindered you. It's time to break through some things that have stood in your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are we going to let the Holy Ghost help us here tonight? Hallelujah. I'm going to take it a step further and tell you, friend, that if you feel like you've had a conflict and a disagreement, you don't have to say a lot. Just go pray for that brother right now. Go pray for that sister right now. Put your arm around them and say, I love you. We've got a revival to have. We've got a church to grow. We've got a future ahead of us. We need the Holy Ghost to help us. We need the Holy Ghost to strengthen us. We got to overcome some things. We got to get past some things. We've got to see God help us. Come on, all over the house. Come on, all over the house. I'm asking you tonight, please, whatever you do, amen, don't get distracted right now. Whatever you do, don't engage in just personal conversation. Let's pray. Somebody talk to Jesus right now. Tell the Lord, I want the city to live. I want the city to survive. I want the city to grow. I want the city to move forward. Come on. I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. I want you to lift your voice aloud. Come on, lift your voice aloud. Come on, Calvary, I can't hear you tonight. We need to let heaven know we mean business in this place. Somebody pray through your pettiness tonight. Somebody pray through those things. Come on, get above it. Get beyond it. Whatever you do, get beyond it. Come on, everybody. Everybody's praying. Holy Ghost, help us right now. Holy Ghost, put your hand on us right now. Come on, church. In a million years, your feelings aren't going to matter anyhow. In a million years, your conflict's not going to matter anyhow. In 1,000 years, your struggle's not going to matter anyhow. Pray. Holy Ghost, help us. Come on. The things that have kept you from serving God, you need to pray through them tonight. The things that have kept you on a pew, not worshiping, pray through those things tonight. The city's got to live.